Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
That's right.
The Bible doesn't condemn gays. So, you know, I put a phone number up there, I put my email address up there. You could chat with me live on Yahoo if you see me there. You know, there's ways you can tell me how come you think any verse or any word in the Bible is talking about gays in a negative way that makes you think gay is sin. I would really like to know. I've been, you know, on TV here. This is my 22nd year on TV every single week. I haven't missed a week. Now, why is it so difficult for the people that think gay is sin to explain this? There's some pretty bizarre explanations, don't get me wrong. But see, as Christians, we're not into this kind of flirting with the bizarre stuff. We're kind of into truth, you know? And so you need to deal with the truth. You can't just say a phrase. You just can't say, you know, God hates it. It's in the Bible. You might quote a verse. When you quote a verse or say a book name and a chapter and a verse, you read the verse, and inside your being, you just assume with completeness that it talks about gay. For you, it seems so simple. If this kind of stuff is so extremely simple for you, can't you explain it to a gay person? Because saying it's so simple, hey, I'm sorry, that doesn't... Can't you explain it? 700,000 homophobes later, no matter what degree of college that any of you have, you still won't explain it. Some of you that even are expert in Hebrew says you don't deal with the Hebrew words concerning this kind of subject. Hey, why don't you go ask this other minister? The one I'm particularly referring to is a 33rd degree Mason. And this is who this person who was extremely well with TBN for a great deal of time as their main Hebrew scholar expert. And this guy wouldn't take the time of day to explain why gay is sin using his expert knowledge. It should be on the tip of his tongue. It should be the simplest thing ever to explain Hebrew words that makes him think gay is sin. But this, he ain't going to take the time of day. So go over to Kenneth Copeland, who is, there is so much information concerning that he is a 33rd degree Mason. It's pitiful. And 33rd degree Masons do not believe God is the good guy. 33rd degree Masons believe that Lucifer never fell, and he's the God you worship, and that God is the dark God, God of the Bible. So, I come on here a number of times pleading with you to explain it. So what do I get? You dial that number up there, I listen to your message. It's so simple. God hates it. You quote a verse. And that's it. I mean, you tell me, I got to get saved. Aren't you a Christian? I don't get it. I'm still under the mistaken idea that Christians love truth. So why would you ever prejudge anything? You flip on the TV, and there I am, nutcake out here, telling you stuff that you don't like. And what do? You judge me as to be a nutcake. don't know anything about the Word of God. I'm reading things. You don't want to take time. I got a website down there. You can go there. You can read my testimony. You can see how long I've been saved, what I got saved, the miracles and so forth, any physical healings I've gotten. And I've been with Jesus for 33 years. There's lots and lots and lots of information you got to give account of. I don't, because I experience these things. When I tell you this and that happened, and this is a reaction that many, many, many thousands and thousands of Christians had, it was extremely positive. Just because I'm there. And because you see the fruitcake here on TV talking to you, doesn't mean that as soon as this program's over, that I'm still around. Just like, you know, I don't even see you, but I know you're there. And I know that you get up in the morning and you go to work or something, you go to do all the things that you do during the day, and you're still around, and you have a whole life. And I investigate that life of yours. Because I spend time so that when I talk to you, I know what I'm talking about. I know why you believe gay is sin. It has an extremely long history, about 700 years, a little bit more than 700 years, when a few powerful Catholic leaders got together, and they were getting tired of some of these people in power, some of these leaders, and they wanted to figure out an easier way to get rid of them, and then maybe get elected, get appointed or whatever, a man that ideals more match theirs. It's called create a scandal. We ought to know it pretty good. That's what politicians love to do. If you could create a scandal, then everybody forgets the issues and they just look at the scandal and then, hey, forget you, no matter what kind of person you are, you're out of town. You lost any credibility. You're out. So, you know, you can make somebody have scandal, if it's bona fide or not, then you're toast. And people always knew this kind of stuff. So they're always looking to do something. And a few powerful Catholic leaders did indeed attempt and tried and succeeded at making an anti-gay doctrine for the pure purpose of pointing the finger at somebody and saying, you're gay, in whatever language they had in those days. There's lots of different ways people had names for gay people throughout the century. But do you care to figure this out? Do you care to go back there when, you know, Catholic Church got such influence over the whole world, doesn't matter if you're Buddhist. They pretty much control a lot of your thinking. And so they went through the Bible, pulled out about 11 or 12 verses that had some sort of looking like it could be something to do with a male-to-male sex. And they gathered them together into a doctrine, and they explained, this says gay is sin. Now, what kind of verses did they do? This is another difficult part for me to this day. This is why I know it's almost like a complete fact that like what God did to the nation of Israel, put blinders on them so they'll be in blindness until in a moment they will see whom they pierce. So a good part of the nation of Israel or Hebrew people that are down in the faith of the Hebrew God are in blindness. They do not think Jesus was their Messiah. But in a moment, the people that are left are going to see that Jesus is their Messiah. Because their eyes will be open and they'll be able to see this. And now it is really difficult to witness to a Hebrew person and expect lots of them coming to Christ. They do, but not in large numbers. Just like with the gay issue. Lots of Christians do see the facts and change their ways about condemning gays. They realize that gay is not sin. But the most of you just are in blindness, totally. So I can preach all I want. I can explain step by step. And most of you just can't hear a thing. But in that same kind of moment, you will understand that gay is not sin. Not going to be a pretty sight, though. See, you know, what does Israel have to go through to see that Jesus is their Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, we read the book of Revelation. Us Christians, you know, we can calculate. We can say, ooh, 1 + 1 = 3.2 billion in 3.5 years die. Hey, just like you, if you're here, if you didn't die first, the Israel people are going to be here, and they're going to see all this death and destruction happening all around and everything, all kinds of terrible things. And the two witnesses are going to be talking to them, too. And they're going to be talking to you. They've got a mission, and it's to kind of spank a bunch of people. And then they're going to see. But what a price to pay. And what price to pay that you're going to see that gay is not sin. This is the accumulation of church-wide sin. It's about to come upon you to be into a corrected mode. God has many cups, and He doesn't move until they're full and just about to overflow. And the cup of this blindness that keeps you from seeing the truth about gays and the things that you do in your attempt to condemn gays or say gay is sin and everything, bring misery to so many people for so many centuries, is full. And so God's going to move. And whenever a cup fills to the brim, whenever we talk about the cup fills, you know, you can go to Psalms and various other places and read about cups coming to the brim, then God moves. Wasn't that a pretty sight? He doesn't wait until something fills up to suddenly pour out blessings on people, as it were, so you can feel all the better. No. It's filling up, and then when God has to move and do something, it's not necessarily a pretty sight, because He has to clean up an awful lot of mess in a very short period of time. If you think gay is sin, you need to explain some things to the gay person. You need to go back to this period of time that existed and happened. You can't wish it away. When these few powerful Catholic leaders created the anti-gay doctrine with just about every verse that you use to condemn gays in it. There's only 14 today that is truly reflective of church-wide condemnation of gays. Any other verse in the entire Bible does not have a real connection to any kind of male-to-male sex. And a couple of these 14 verses really shouldn't be involved here, but they're so commonly used that I insert those extra two, because they're actually part of the doctrine. Your Adam and Eve thing, you know. God didn't make Adam and Steve, you say. Well, there's nothing in any of that kind of scripture there that says gay is sin. Nothing says that because He made man and then He made woman out of it, nothing there even gives you the hint of a reason to imagine that the entirety of the Bible confirms that there's only one way to be, and that's man and woman. Because this is not what the Bible talks about through its pages. And if you deal with the garden, you have to live in the garden where brothers and sisters had sex and babies together. Because that's how it was. There was nobody to marry them, so you have to adjust your thinking by imagination and assumption, because it's not in the Bible that God married them or something. And then you have to decide God doesn't marry people anymore. Because now man finally came long enough away that he invented his rules for marriage and you get a license, and you got to have some kind of a person that's going to state that you're man and wife. The squirrel's complex, survival's complex. It's simple and it's complex. When you want to start pointing fingers, you got to know what you're talking about. You can't just simply go to the gay person and say, gay is sin, it's so simple. If it's so simple, then you have 14 verses to deal with. The first one is the rib thing. And you have to go and you search all the avenues relating to that word rib and see what happens. And you'll find out that that word rib, if it was just to mean just a bone taken out of your side, and then you're holding it up, see, this is a rib. And then you put it down there and he did some things with it and made a woman out of it. Because that's not what happened. The word rib means fell from that rib. Fell is the best English modern word today. If we were to, modern versions are Satan counterfeits, but we do have our language today. So we can search the ancient language and put it down there and do the thing there and list all the English meanings to those. The best is the ancient one, not the evolved form of the ancient word. Because we've elevated the form of many words to where they don't mean what they meant in Jesus' day or in Moses' day. You cannot use modern definitions of ancient words. Sometimes it doesn't take very long for words to change in meaning, especially in slang. So when you're doing research on things, you go back there and you get this word rib, and then you look at the way it means, because there is other places in the Bible that it's used, one of the places. There is also another place in the Bible that uses the word rib, as it would have to mean the bone in the chest. In the sentence, God took a rib out of Adam. If they use the Hebrew word that is also in the Bible, in the Exodus I believe it is, and use that word in verse, 22:2? And then it would mean bone. But they didn't. There is another place that describes an encasing with stuff inside it. That God took this out, and with that, he did. Of course, we know what that stuff is. It's DNA, chromosome, genes, and all that. And you can make anything, because that's the building blocks, that's the blueprint of the body. And so, God basically, whether you like the word or not, cloned. But it's not a clone, because God manipulated it. Because, God doesn't have to make a copy. God's the programmer. He created it. And so he could take it and he could reach in there and take the pieces and move them this way, and that way. Because that's what he had to do, because he didn't make Eve out of the sand like he did the dirt, like he did Adam. He had Adam, so he had to deal with whatever Adam was. And so he took out that cell and manipulated a few things like this and made a woman. It's not a far cry from science to understand that there is not that much difference between the two. There's different varying parts of the Bible, of the anatomy of humans that pretty much they both have the same kinds of deals. They just grew into the things that was determined by the genetics. And so when you're talking about lots of stuff, you have to know something, at least some general idea, or have looked at enough people to get a basis if you don't understand the subject very well, so you can understand what genetics is all about. And so, Steve was in the DNA. If you go by the garden, that means literally, if you literally use certain sort of words in the Bible, that means every Christian today is in severe disobedience to God because they did not leave their parents to get married. In the New Testament confirms this is the whole idea. You do not leave your parents unless it is to get married. And then that married thing is a whole other issue. Because it's not the way we get married today. And the receptions and stuff. The giving away of the bride and the pastor up there saying, finally, you say I do. Or do you take? Do you take? And they say, I do, and so forth. This kind of stuff has a history. And it's not Christian. It's pagan, fertility gods. People, the 12 to 14 verses in the Bible that you use to say gay sin is using words like gay rape, rape, extremely abusive behavior, orgies, going to other gods for sex, male temple prostitutes. Each and every verse that you use to condemn gays, when you look at them and understand what they mean by going into the ancient Greek and the history and the geological reason and the archaeology of the reason and read the records of these temples and go throughout the land and the Bible tells you some of these poles that they weren't poles, they were something that you know, I don't want to get into it. And you start finding out every single thing that you want to use to condemn gays relates to an extremely terrible kind of sex type of thing or something that is absolutely in direct worship of other gods. And this is not boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and they get married. But this is what you assume. You assume that because each partner is of the same sex and being condemned, then that means gay is sin. And if you base that, then you have to base it. You can't just pick and choose how you base things and by what format you will base them. Because then you could go to another place and find where the straight man raped the straight woman. Or the straight man orgied like crazy, gangbanged, and on. You can find all this kind of stuff many, 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 many more times in the Bible. Somehow or another, you have that ability to be able to say, that is bad sex. That is not the way to do it. If you find somebody and get married to them, that's the right way. How do you do this? How are you able to discern rape versus marriage? I don't get it. Because you do it with heterosexuality, but somehow you do not have this ability to see the difference in the gay community. You just say flat out across the line all of this orgies and gang rape when this is not what it is. People, you've got to get ready for the things that are going to start to correct you. Since you're in blindness, you can't hear me. So it's going to happen that God will let you hear. And you won't like this. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version. See you next week.